Nice to see all of you today, and check on David here. I think there's a lot of purple tie thing going on, or a maroon tie thing going on here. So, the gopher tie. Yeah. We'll get started with reference checks this morning. George, I think you're first up with a report on Al Zidane.
I think that's how it's pronounced. Yes. I said I thought that his application was outstanding when he made it, but compared to some other applications and people that we've seen, I deserve that a little bit. However, in the background checks, I didn't find anything significant that really stood out among the four references that he had recommended. But I called two additional. I asked other people. And there was one that, if you look at an interview with a Doug Becky, I think it's pronounced.
What number is that, George? I see. Six. Well, reference six.
And I think it might be the number six.
It is six.
Sure. It's on the back page.
Very back.
But the number two thing, the fellow said that the board member wasn't a good fit for him. And this kind of raised a flag with me. That, so I'm bringing it to your attention. This fellow was not one of them that he had, the fellow that said this was not one of them that he had put down as a reference, but it was a reference from a reference. So if somebody wants to ask him about that, why?
Go down to number question five there, too.
Beg your pardon?
George, can you link number two and number five there for us? It looks like Al also admitted or had the courage to admit that he wasn't a good fit for that role.
One other place, one fella told me that he had, and I'm not sure whether I wrote the thing down, but it said number 10. It says, I wouldn't say it's a weakness, but he didn't like fundraising while on the board. And he had left the board, as I understand, because of fundraising. Now, I leave it to everybody else. You can ask questions of him of it or whatever, but that's what I found out, and I bring it to your attention.
That's very helpful, George. Thank you.
George, on reference to question 10, that person said there are things Al hasn't done, but that he shouldn't be held against him. Did you probe when you heard that and said, you know, what are you talking about?
No. When I see it now, at least what I remember. I was trying to write down it, and I told the people that, I taught Ms. Porter, and she said she was able to type the thing at the same time people were answering the questions. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so I had to, I told them, well, you have to wait while I'm marked down, and I must have.
Okay.
But it might be another thing, question that would could be asked about.
Because I have a bias. Everybody has a weakness if they've governed at any level. And so when I see no weaknesses, it worries me. But then when you see something like this, it's an added worry. So I just share that.
I can't speculate for this particular individual, but I think any one of us who have served on various boards, governing boards, and including nonprofit boards, understand everybody seems to have a different role. And many nonprofit boards, you're expected to, as a board member, do fundraising. And if you don't like fundraising and you sit back, you may be contributing in other ways, but it may antagonize some of the other board members that have to go out and do the fundraising. So it might be as simple as that, and not necessarily weakness, but something that was just uncomfortable.
This was a different reference completely than the other reference. And very frankly, I'm in fundraising. Most people hate it.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to ask him about it, I think.
I think we should ask him about a lot of things.
I would want to bring up one additional point, and that is to observe now that he has not included the World War II Military Museum in his governing board experience bio.
Going backwards to the fundraising comment, contrary to other nonprofit boards, the Board of Regents is more strongly a governance than fundraising board.
They don't have anything to do with fundraising, essentially.
Right. And so that, you know, if that isn't his forte, going to the style reference, it wouldn't be a glaring absence in this setting.
But oftentimes, Lois, people choose a way to get off a board that is legitimate, and if repeated years later feels okay, the question is, were there other issues? Particularly in light of your number six reference, but it could be a personality clash of those two people.
Thankfully, we have the opportunity to ask questions for clarification. So,
yep. Any other questions for George about the reference checks? Good comments, and this is exactly why we do these before the interview. Okay, I think we'll move on to David has the next two. Courtney West.
Courtney West, as her application will indicate to you, she is a student applicant. She is a joint. She's a candidate for a joint Juris Doctor and MBA at the university and the Carlson School. So she's entered in both schools at the law school and the Carlson School. The references are before you, but I'll just summarize what they basically say is that the people who worked with Courtney say that she's among the very best individuals they've worked with. She was a staff member in the residence hall where she lived in 2008 and 2009. The adjectives used by this individual were that Courtney was dependable, creative, caring, intelligent. What she had to do was really work with first-year students who are women in the residence hall, being a mentor to them, being a counselor, planning activities for them. I didn't know residence hall counselors did that, but apparently she did.
Gustavus, they do.
Gustavus. And not when I was there.
Oh, okay.
And at time, had to discipline other students. And the ranking for Courtney is that she did a superb job, was a bridge builder among various groups of people that were in that residence hall. A law school professor indicates that Courtney, who was in her class, is a bit of a risk taker. She does stick her neck out on things. She gets out in front of issues, in other words. She presents issues that are new to the group. She takes a leadership role in leading the way. Of course, this is in a class setting where people are expected to step out. But she was rated by this particular individual, again, a professor at the law school, as a strategic thinker, as an extrovert. That is an extrovert in terms of somebody who gets their energy from being with other people and mixing it up with other people. Not in a bad way when I say mixing up. But she's aware of addressing diversity in decision-making, welcomes a wide range of points of view, understands ethical behavior. She was in the Student Senate at Gustavus and chaired the Student and Academic Affairs Committee there, and the person that was the co-chair of that gave her a very high recommendation as well. She came with a lot of ideas. She went out and looked for things for more from the student body, prioritized them, accomplished what was feasible in 1 year, and then passed on to her successor what she learned during that process. Among the things I plucked from this interview, an example. She looked into what students wanted for a weekend busing system. This, again, is at Gustavus at St. Peter. She did a test run of the changes students wanted, sought feedback on the test run, finalized a 2-year contract with the city of St. Peter for their services, I'm not even sure where you bus in St. Peter, to be honest with you, but in any event, she worked on that. And also then at the same time worked to getting the library open 24 hours a day during finals, looking at alcohol safety issues on campus and resources available for survivors of sexual assault. So she did come up with some initiatives and took some initiative to make these things policy on campus. Final comment I would make is that according to all these references, Courtney's work ethic and drive are her greatest strengths. She works harder and is more driven to succeed than many.
Did she fail to put down other governance experience, or does she really only have 1 year of governance experience even as a student?
That I do not have an answer to. I would make this comment, just as an aside. I think that she's currently seeking a dual degree. It's a four-year degree at the university. I have no idea how much time commitment that is, but I would assume that it's not light. So I can't say that. I'm assuming she would have put down other board experiences if she'd been performing those duties.
David, how does that work? Typically, the law degree is the first 3 years, so you kind of intersperse. And what does it take to get the MBA? Is that a 1 year or two?
No, it's a 2 year. You start in a law school, and then you go over to the Carlson School for a year, and you're isolated. Your law school all first year, second year in Carlson, and then you have a mixed for 2 years.
So you're really squeezing 5 years of academic credits into four. Is that
correct?
What you're doing?
I think so.
But I've watched a lot of students carry loads even heavier than that and have governance experience. Okay. So I'm not going to say it's an either or.
No, I think it's just a time commitment question.
Yeah.
One question that I have and look at. Has anyone here been to Brandon, South Dakota?
South Dakota is one of my clients. It's one of my clients for fundraising, but what's the question?
Well, my question is coming from small-town southern Minnesota, when you go to a small high school, and I'm pretty sure that Brandon's not a very big town.
No.
You do everything. If you're one of the leaders of the class, you're in student government, you're in...
band, yearbook.
Yep.
Cheerleader.
Yep, and quarterback, which gets a little tricky sometimes. Yeah. I suspect there's more here.
Mr. Duncanson, board members, one of the things that stood out with me in her responses to the questions that in the seventh grade, she was taking university courses, University of Minnesota, and continued from that school in South Dakota. I thought that was amazing, from the seventh grade.
Margaret, I agree. I think there's more probing that needs to be done.
To
see if there's more experience than what's on the paper.
Particularly if we're considering any student going for a fifth or an at-large. Governance is a part of what that role has to be, and it's not the time to learn.
Her activities from in St. Peter moved dials, and in order to know the process for moving those dials with the city and the transportation facilities and the like, she carries background knowledge that obviously has to be significant, and secondly, she knew how to leverage it.
Population is 8,900.
So it's a pretty big town.
it's almost suburban Sioux Falls.
It is. Okay.
It's not. It's close. It's not within 10 miles.
It's not rural.
Oh, that's West River.
South Dakota.
Oh,
9,000.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking.
Almost 100, you know.
Yeah. Good point.
Everybody's
yeah.
there.
Just to say that about yep. Iowa, a small town in Iowa, wouldn't that be done?
So I stand. I actually stand corrected. It's a probably a much different school situation than I had envisioned in my mind.
Might be cool.
Any other questions about Courtney? Then we'll move on to Dean Johnson.
Dean Johnson, I had that reference check as well. Funny thing is, I look back at my records, I had the 6 years ago as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've got the goods on this guy. Dean Johnson, you know, it's difficult to find references that he might put down that would actually be critical of him, although I did ask outside of the listing of references that he had of at least one individual I know knows him well, and I never could get a response from that individual, so I don't know, you can read into that what you wish. But Dean Johnson is a legislator. I could put down legislator times two. As you know, he was somehow was the majority leader of both the Republicans and the Democrats at various times in the Minnesota State Senate. He's a Lutheran minister and a pastor. I talked, I think the last time I did a reference check for him was primarily with his political group. This was a reference check of mostly people who were associated with him in his pastoral role. He's also a brigadier general in the Army Reserve, so a man who wears many hats. According to his references in this round, again, these are people who are associated with him primarily in his role as a Lutheran pastor in Willmar, that he clearly prepares himself very well, allowing him to deliver meaningful, emotional, and touching messages to all those attending services, and he does preach at services as well as does weddings and baptisms. His experience and success both as a Lutheran pastor and a state senator are proof of communication skills in the opinion of these individuals. He has a sense of humor while at the same time appropriate for the immediate audience. And I think in general his greatest strength is described as his ability to communicate effectively with anyone. He's a gregarious, extroverted people person. That's where he draws his strength, again, as I mentioned with the earlier reference. And that includes whether you're a garbage hauler or a college president. It doesn't matter. He treats everyone the same way. He's at least two people use the word top shelf and describing him. I don't know if that's a term of art in Willmar or not, but he is described as a strategic thinker. He plans well and he keeps to it. The references felt that may be his military background leading to him to be a very thorough individual in making plans. A couple of people described his role just in the last year of being in charge of a Feed the Children charity event for the church youth. And he handled all the arrangements, food distribution, the assignments. If anyone's done that, you get food and you make packages that you then export. But you have to have everything set so everything is the right. You have the right food and the right amounts and the right quantities in the same bag. So it does take some coordination. You have to have people on assignment to do that, and he coordinated all that with the youth of the church. I think one of the most telling aspects of this reference check was that the remarks people made about his ability to connect with teenage people in the church, that he works very well with them, that he consults with them even after they leave and move on in their lives. He keeps communication with them, checking on them, asking them how they're doing. And the references said that one of the telling points of that is that these individuals, once they became older and they were beginning to get married, would almost always ask Dean Johnson to officiate at their weddings. So they came back to him because they felt that he was a mentor to them. I can tell you, I asked people for weaknesses, and the most damning thing that I could find on his record is that he has a difficult time handling a wrench. He's not very mechanically inclined. And I don't know if that's a detraction at all. The other part, and that's putting on, that means he needs help, George. That's where you step in. The other comment was that on occasion he can get to be kind of be like a politician, a little bit, you know, glad-handing and being out there, and you get somewhat wary that he's wearing that politician face. Any one of us who has been or has met a politician kind of knows what that feels like. On the other hand, I'm not necessarily saying that's what I call Dick. That's my report, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Question. I think we need to... Well, first, I try to find things with each of the candidates that we need to drill into. We need to hold sitting regents to a higher standard. They have had 6 years of sitting at a table 12 months out of the year to make a significant difference to say, please pass through the turnstile to the next 6 years. I am astounded that we have no information on any references on this. And what I'm wondering is, David, is there anybody you can call? Should any of us call overnight? You can't, Paul?
He's here.
No, but we're not voting until tomorrow.
Whatever.
Yeah. But, Paul, what he should be sitting at the table, and we can ask him questions, and I'm going to ask a very pointed question, the most pointed question I've asked of any of the candidates, and I'll do that when he comes in. It was a subcommittee he was on. But we have to know, and we'll ask him what his hallmark significant contributions are, but we've gotten nothing out of his references, in my opinion. And one of my weaknesses, I'm too candid, but that's my observation.
I agree. We need to hold the sitting regents to a higher standard, and I certainly don't think we went too far yesterday in our interview. In fact, we probably should have done more.
I agree.
Yesterday, I think back to a couple years ago when we interviewed a very skilled politician before this council, and who did a very good job of convincing us of his skills. Dean Johnson is a professional communicator as a pastor. I expect his interview to go very well. And I encourage us to as politely as we can, to ask those very pointed questions. And I don't expect that anything will come up, but I think we're not trying to sabotage anything here. But I think we owe it to ourselves and to this process to ask those hard questions.
I might, if I could, I might read some things from his initial application 6 years ago that may be of some interest. This is not a reference check, obviously. But he said in 2006, I've been around here too long, said the two most important issues confronting the university then were competition within a global arena and diversity among the university's clients. And I'm not sure that we probed and find out what clients were at that time. He said at that time that I found this comment curious. He said, having served in the Minnesota Senate, he has an intimate knowledge about conflicts of interest. As you may recall, the conflict of interest issue with Mr. Spigum was that he had a different view of conflict of interest as a member of the Minnesota House for so many years than what the university has. I don't know if that's a relevant point, but I thought it was an interesting comment that something we could probe. He said at that time the university was not fully appreciated. How many times have you heard that already in this session? Mm-hmm. And in an online world, do we really need all these buildings?
I almost remember that comment.
He also said, Mr. Taylor, that campus housing is shabby.
Which is true. Back then,
much better now.
Yes. Well, it was, Paul.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I want to reinforce the point that I think Margaret was making. As I read and reread the references, I thought if he were not a sitting regent, I wouldn't have even been very interested in him as a candidate. And it seems to me to be a soft set of things that people are saying about him compared to many other applications when people really drill in for why that person would be a good regent. I think it's not a very good application or set of references, which of course he gave. He identified.
I will add, just this fuel to that fire, the references I was able to get a hold of all have known him for years.
Sure.
They're friends of his and admitted that they were friends.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I intend when we vote on Friday to support Dean for renomination to go across the street. But that said, I think I want to echo the comments that with respect to, for a variety of reasons, not just that we see here on paper, and I'll talk about those then. But it is striking, and I'm going to talk to him, if not today, offline. If you look at Linda Cohen's references, she went to people that she worked with and saw her in action for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And it is striking, I forget what Margaret's word was, that Dean has not done that. And you would think that you would go to people that had were closely affiliated, former regents, colleagues, university individuals as Linda did, or Chair Cohen did. So I think that is a legitimate issue. I think it is the one that candidly should be addressed, as you, Margaret, will rely on you to candidly address it. But whether in this forum today or in some time between now and tomorrow, if I have a chance to talk to Dean, I'm going to ask him why. Where are those folks who you have worked with? That is a big question mark. That said, I think he brings, and I'll just say that, a perspective that isn't resume-based, if you will. But that's for all of us to decide. I'm only one vote on Friday, but I too have that same concern, in spite of the fact that I think he does bring a valuable perspective, and I do value to some extent incumbency. And I'll take some responsibility. I think I told David that I really didn't want to recruit against incumbents. It was just an uncomfortable thing for me to do, and that's hard to get people to apply against incumbents. Probably in the future, we do owe incumbents a very rigorous test, and we probably should be less concerned about not recruiting in the future against incumbents so that they do have to meet a higher standard having. So that's my comment for now, and I think we'll get a chance to flesh that out with Dean, I think it should be very candid with him and ask the answer to the questions I'd like to ask.
Well, David, I like the idea of his past application, and the things that he said 6 years ago should be followed up on. Ardell?
Kind of with the comment that too many buildings, and I'm relying on my memory, but it may be very political that he was still in the legislature speaking to a big group from Rochester about, and he didn't identify, but he did make, as I recall, made some reference that there's probably a campus we should close and open it in Rochester. And so it was, like I say, that's it's memory, but I'm pretty clear on that, and it was probably speaking to that audience. That was something they wanted to hear. But that was before we have the now UMR. But maybe there's something there that says U of M is too big.
Yep. How many of members that here today were involved in that around 6 years ago? Yes,
I observed it. I was not on the committee.
Just curious. Thank you.
About half.
If I remember correctly, too, did we not forward his name and then the legislature appointed him?
No, we forwarded it.
Okay, because I remember the discussion around that. Okay, thank you.
I think it might have even been first ballot.
It was.
Any other comments, and we'll get wrapped up here, George.
Two years ago, I remember Paul Thatcher on the end of the table where I am now. I think he said we have to recognize the political makeup of the legislature in this discussion. And I said, and I must have seemed awful naive to a lot of people, I said, it ain't our business to look at the political makeup of the legislature. It's our business to submit the what we feel are the best applicants. There's nothing on the application that says what political party they belong to. And I hope that we hold that today. I learned a lot about being naive from the last 2 years. But,
so did I.
I still think that we should submit the best possible candidates.
Agreed.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to echo Sonia's comment of the decision process that went into the structuring of this application. This time, which I think is importantly before us at this point, is this time. And I plainly and simply don't understand the decision process. And that concerns me.
Decision process for
the choice of references.
And the positioning of the answers, I agree.
We can ask why he chose those references.
Sure. And I would prefer someone else ask that because I have a completely different question to ask.
Yeah, I guess that I don't feel a need to ask that question. I think it speaks, and that but others may feel differently.
Well, I'm going to emphasize again, and maybe it's a question I should ask, but in looking at the two applications, he's applied twice. The references put down, I say, were pretty close personal friends this time. The last time that he applied, the first round, he did put down political figures with whom he's worked on both sides of the aisle. And my recollection, I have my notes from those interviews, they were equally effusive about his ability to navigate university issues that he was going to face. And these included former governors as well as former people in the legislature. What was said 6 years ago was that, you know, sometimes he can sit back. He's kind of a back office type of worker. He works one-on-one with people. He doesn't get out in front of committees. He doesn't sit in a board meeting and pontificate. I think that was one of the words used by references now 6 years ago. But he does work the back room, and he gets things done in that fashion. I can't speak for that personally myself, but that's what his references said. I can say personally for myself, when I was in state government and I was having a rough spot, having to do with a political issue, he called me over to his office and sat me down and had a little pastoral discussion with me, which I think is his style. He had a discussion about, you know, here's what you need to do. You just pick yourself up and dust yourself off and move on. And that's a description I would say for his style.
Well, good. Any other comments, questions? I guess in in thinking of a strategy, who would like to, and when we get to Dean Johnson's, David, would you like to start off the questioning comparing what his application was 6 years ago?
Oh, I just love that idea.
Sure.
Well, you're probably the only one that has it.
Yeah. So the other thing, this afternoon, does anyone happen to have Kelly Smith's application from 2 years ago?
Oh, my gosh.
I do.
Well, I don't know if it's a different situation.
Yeah.
Different situation.
Completely.
But we may want to visit that at noon. When we do the reference checks. So, George, let's see if Al is in the hall, and we'll take a quick break here, and we'll get started in a few minutes.